Welcome to the Successful Farming Podcast. I'm Lori Boyer. Today, I introduce to you Dr. Kenneth Hellevang. He is an extension engineer and professor in the Department of Agricultural and Biosystems Engineering at North Dakota State University. And we'll be talking about grain storage today. But before we dive into that subject, Dr. Hellevang, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your background?
Well, as you indicated, I'm at North Dakota State University, and my primary focus is in grain drying and storage. And I've been doing that now for 42 years. So it's getting to a lot of experience that I can rely on. Even though I'm located at North Dakota State University, the geographic area that I work with in providing education and technical assistance is to people pretty much across the majority of the northern part of the U.S. So from Montana, Wyoming, that area, all the way to the East Coast. And so sometimes people kind of wonder, you know, why is someone from North Dakota talking about corn and soybeans? Well, I do interact and work with farmers in a variety of states, including Iowa and other places that grow a lot of corn and soybeans. So that gives you kind of a cross-section of why I am working primarily in this grain drying and storage area.
And that makes you the perfect guest for the show here today, Dr. Hellevang. So let's get started with a general discussion point. What are some ways to maintain grain quality in storage?
Well, the two areas that I think we need to focus on is the grain moisture content and the grain temperature. And most people kind of are aware of how important grain moisture content is. But sometimes we don't realize that depending on the environment that we're storing in, we might need to have a different moisture content. So, for example, with corn, the market moisture content is 15.5, and that will work fine for storing the corn over winter. But if we're going to be looking at storing into the warmer summer months, or if that corn is going to be stored in a geographic area that has warmer temperatures, then we really need to be down somewhere in that 13.5 to 14% moisture in order to prevent mold growth from occurring. Same thing with temperature. Many people are not aware of just how important temperature is. I use kind of the rule of thumb that the allowable storage time is cut in half for every 10 degrees increase in temperature. And so we might be harvesting grain at temperatures that are 60, 70, 80 degrees. But if we can, just cooling that grain down to something near or even below freezing temperature greatly enhances the storability of that grain. So we can store it better at cooler temperatures, both from a mold standpoint and from an insect standpoint. So really, temperature and moisture are two very key items to take into consideration.
How is temperature and moisture tested?
Well, for moisture, most farmers hopefully have a moisture meter, and they can vary from one that might be $300-$400, very portable unit that they put the grain in, check the temperature or the moisture content, or they can get to be more sophisticated where it might be a couple $1,000s. The types of meters that we use on the farm are using typically an electrical principle to use for moisture measurement. Some of the more expensive ones are actually using a near-infrared technology, but both will work as long as they are used correctly. And by that, sometimes if we have a moisture variation across the kernel, or if the meter isn't accurately checking temperature and making adjustments to the reading, then we'll end up with errors showing up in the moisture measurement. So hopefully most all the farmers have moisture meters that they're using, but we need to make sure that we're using those meters correctly to get an accurate moisture measurement.
How often do you suggest testing be done?
Well, I recommend checking the moisture content during harvest. Many of the combines today will have some kind of sensor on them that will give them an indication of what that grain moisture content is. But there's a number of parameters involved that may or may not give us an accurate reading. And so right away, even at harvest, if the combine is saying the corn is at 15% moisture, I still encourage farmers to do a check of that moisture content as it goes into storage so they know what the moisture content is. Frequently with corn, we're running the corn through some type of dryer, and that will then create a moisture variation across the kernel. And so we might check the moisture content that going into storage, and it might say it's at 15% moisture. But if we were to check it maybe a few days later, it might give us a little different reading. And so I'd say as the grain goes into storage, and then there should be another check shortly thereafter, just to make sure that we know that what the moisture content is, because that's going to determine how we manage that stored grain in the future. So frequent checking, the more checks that we do, the more likely we're going to get an accurate reading.
Dr. Helleving, what would you say is the average duration of time that grain is stored?
Well, we're seeing a change, I think, take place with a lot of our grain storage. Corn and soybeans both, I think we're seeing much longer storage periods than what we did previously. With corn, a lot of that corn now is being utilized as corn ethanol, and the ethanol plants need a supply 12 months a year. So there's some of that corn that likely will be stored for an entire calendar year. With soybeans, used to be that we pretty much had all the soybeans marketed by late winter, early spring. And we also are seeing changes taking place there with more soybeans being stored into the warmer summer months because of local crush plants and other uses of those soybeans. That then also means that we need to be thinking of moisture content differently for soybeans. Market moisture is 13%. If we're going to be storing long-term through the warmer summer months, we really need to be down maybe at the 11 to 12% moisture in order to safely store the soybeans during the summer.
Dr. Helleving, going back to the discussion on cooling down the grain bins, how does that work? How does an operator cool down the grain?
Most of our farmers today or grain storage managers have aeration systems in their storages. So there's going to be either a perforated floor or some type of ductwork underneath the grain. And then we're using an aeration fan to move the air through to control the temperature. And the recommendation is that we would like to cool the grain as outdoor temperatures cool. So kind of, again, another rule of thumb that we typically use is that whenever the average grain temperature is probably, or I should say average outdoor temperature is 10, 15 degrees cooler than the average grain temperature, then we should be running the aeration fan and cooling the grain down. Depending on where we're at, the winter storage temperature typically is going to be near freezing. In our northern regions, we typically will take it under freezing, maybe in the 20 to 30 degree temperature range for winter storage. In southern states, they don't have as much access to cooling air. So maybe there in the 30 to 40 degree temperature range is a reasonable estimate. But whenever there's that roughly 15 degree temperature difference between average outdoor temperatures and grain temperature, we should be cooling that grain.
Dr. Hellevang, let's talk about the actual design and maintenance of the grain storage facilities.
Well, kind of the old rule of thumb has always been that if we're looking at grain storage, typically we should be thinking of the how we would expand that storage. Historically, we see farmers getting more and more bushels that they're needing to handle. And so as we look at just putting together facilities today, most of those are probably going to have some type of grain receiving system. Some are going to have some type of grain dryer built into the system. We're going to have bins such that we can easily fill and unload the grain as we want to market that grain during the year. So that's kind of the fundamentals is thinking about how do we handle the grain as we're harvesting it and as we look at marketing the grain. Frequently when we start thinking of, well, what type of structure should we use, it's pretty hard to beat a grain bin. They're a very versatile storage container for our grain. And that's typically for most farmers or storage managers, what we're using today is some type of corrugated steel bin. On some of the larger facilities, you'll see some buildings that are being used for storage. And that works, but the conveying the grain in and removing the grain gets to be more challenging. And we go into those buildings. When we have years that where we have bumper crops and we may be looking for alternative storages, then we might be looking at those types of buildings that are available. But always think about the load capacity of that building. Grain exerts a lot of force on walls. And then how do we handle the grain in and out? And if we're going to manage the grain well, then we really need to have that aeration system be part of that whole picture. And so there's a lot of things to take into consideration when we start really thinking about a system. There are a few publications out there that other extension engineers have put together that help people kind of walk through their planning process. I also encourage farmers or managers to look at other facilities as far as ideas of what works and what doesn't work. There is not one plan that's going to fit everybody or that one plan that is definitely better than the other. So it takes some individual planning effort.
I wanted to go back to the earlier discussion when we were talking about moisture and mold potential. If an operator or producer does in fact find mold, can it be mitigated? And if so, how is it mitigated?
Well, it'll depend on how much moisture is there. Mold grows wherever there's moisture. And so if we have caking of the grain or mold growth or spoilage, that's an indication either that the grain has gone in wet or that grain is gotten wet while in storage. One of the things that comes to mind right away is that anytime we start trying to work with grain that has gone out of condition, there's a lot of safety hazards. Typically, we end up with chunks of grain that will block the flow of grain through the handling system. There's a temptation then for farmers and managers to want to go into the grain bin, try to break up that crust or break up that chunk. And unfortunately, we end up with fatalities every year as we look at particularly problems that occur in the bins. So the best practice is you know, to make sure that you're putting the right moisture content in and that you're managing the temperature. But if you do end up with a problem, if it's a minor moisture condition, just running the aeration fans a lot of times can remove some of that moisture. Unfortunately, we get a leaky bin roof. We end up with a lot of moisture in there. We'll end up with a large chunk of grain, and that then ends up being a major problem from a unloading standpoint and a safety standpoint. The number one rule is to stop and think before you do. Unfortunately, there are no good solutions to getting that grain out, and there are some personal hazards. And one of them that's frequently overlooked is that mold is a health hazard. If you breathe in mold spores, you can end up with allergic reactions and other problems. So anytime that you're working around that moldy grain, we need to be wearing at least an N95 mask. That's one that we've become fairly familiar with because of COVID. But it'll have two straps on, and it'll be labeled clearly at an N95. That then will keep the mold spores out of your lungs as long as it's a well-fitting mask. We can go to more protection than that, certainly, but that's a minimum.
Dr. Hellevang, now what if someone finds insects in their stored grain?
Absolutely, insects are a concern. Again, if we're doing a good job of controlling the grain temperature, that reduces the potential for insect infestations. I kind of go back to what I call temperature regions when we're talking about insects. In that 70 to 90 degree temperature window, that's optimum for insect infestations. As we get below 70 and roughly the 50 to 70 degree range, we're going to be reducing the amount of reproduction that occurs. And when we get below roughly 50 degrees, insects actually go into dormancy. And so by cooling the grain, not only do we reduce the mold potential, but we can have a huge impact on insect infestations. Unfortunately, if we're going to be storing into the next summer where we have warm temperatures, then temperature control is not an option anymore. And there are insecticides that you can put in there that repel the insects. There are fumigants available that actually kill the insects. But we need to make sure that we follow the label. It's gotten to the point where very few farmers have the proper training to be able to obtain their own fumigants. And so typically that's hiring somebody to come in and fumigate the grain. Certainly it can be done, but it's a major process. You have to seal the structure. You have to put in the right amount of fumigant. It has to stay there for a period of time, and then you have to ventilate to remove it. And so doing everything we can to prevent the insects from coming in by controlling temperature, by using a grain protectant which repels the insects, should be our number one priority to reduce the need that we would ever need to fumigate.
Dr. Hellevang, what is the best way to detect insects? Is it visual, or are there some other ways to do so?
Mostly it is visual observation. And depending on the type of insects, it may be even difficult to see some of the insect activity in the early phases. And so what's recommended is actually physically going into the bin, having a white cloth that you put some of the grain on off the surface to see if you see any insects moving around. There are insect traps that you can utilize, basically probes where they put a pheromone or an smell it will attract the insects, and the insects then go in through little holes in the tube, get trapped in there, and so you get a way of knowing whether you have insect infestation. Again, that'll depend on probably where geographically you're located. If you're in the northern states, typically we don't see a lot of insect infestation problems. As you go further south into more of the warmer climates, then you're going to have more potential for insect infestations. But unfortunately, mostly people are doing the visual checks. And so I encourage people to check the grain at least every 2 weeks. And certainly we're checking temperature with cables and sensors, but we still need to get in and do the visual check for insects.
When it comes to grain removal, time to take the grain out of the bin, what are some of your recommendations for that?
Well, the first thing comes back to safety. And we have a lot of equipment today that is automated. And so if we're going to be going into the facility or around some of the equipment where there's some hazards associated if the grain conveying equipment starts, we should use the lockout, tagout thing where we make sure that there's no way that the system will automatically start or someone will come along and start the equipment and then somebody get hurt. The other thing I encourage people to do is, surprisingly, most of our grain is unloaded through a central sump in the bottom of the grain bin. And people may think, well, that's pulling grain from the bottom of the bin. It does somewhat, but it really comes out in like a funnel shape. And so the grain from the top of the bin is what gets unloaded first. And it goes in that funnel shape to that bottom sump, and then we're gradually unloading from the top down. And so if we start unloading the bin, hopefully we've done some checking and we know that we don't have clumps and problems up there before we start unloading. But if by chance we didn't do that, the first thing we should do is look in and make sure that that funnel shape is there and that the grain is moving. If it isn't moving, then we're creating void spots underneath a crust, and that's an extremely dangerous situation because if you walk out onto that crust, it'll break and you fall down into that void and immediately get covered with grain. But unloading the grain really should be a fairly straightforward process. But keep in mind where the grain is coming from and make sure that we're not in that bin anytime that we're unloading grain.
What is the best way to declump the grain if clumps are found?
Unfortunately, there are no good solutions. It depends on each situation is different. But if we get crusted grain, the best solution is to, before we start unloading, have gone in and examined the grain. If there is a crust and clumping, that grain is removed out through the top of the bin before we start that unloading process. Once we start unloading, frequently what we'll find is guys just turn the unloading system on and then all of a sudden the grain stops flowing. And that's one of those chunks then that is moved to the bottom of the bin, plug that sump, and at that point it's very difficult to get clump busted up. Different companies have different products that are available. Some of them have unloading augers that have basically big teeth on them that try to break it up. There was a recent study that was done looking at a lot of the different options. If you don't have something installed before you fill the bin, it gets to be very difficult. Most of the guys are in there with some type of a long bar or probing, trying to bust up that chunk. And if we do that, we should make sure that the system is shut down. We need to make sure that we have a harness on. We need to make sure that somebody is up at the, so it's a team approach. Somebody can help if there's any issues that develop. And so, unfortunately, we don't have good solutions. That's why we keep preaching kind of the idea that make sure that we put in good quality grain and manage that grain so that we don't end up with those problems.
Dr. Hellevang, I certainly appreciate the safety aspect of the discussion we've had intertwined into the interview here today. I think most of us, when we think of grain bin safety, we think of the stories that we've heard or read or know about where someone gets trapped in the grain and ends up suffocating.
Yeah, you just cannot go into a bin when the system is operating. Back when bins were 1,500 bushels, you used to hear of guys that would go in and the unloading system was maybe a 4-inch auger and nothing happened so quick at that time. Today, we've got systems that are moving thousands and thousands of bushels an hour. Everything just happens so quickly. You get into that flowing grain, even up to your knees, and you can't get yourself out. I did some calculations once where I looked at a typical unloading rate that we use today, and a person could be totally caught and covered in just a matter of a couple, 3 seconds. And so you don't have a chance. And if by chance, you know, somebody was there and shut the system down, if somebody is buried in that grain, there's tremendous pressure against the person, and there's just no way that you're going to pull them out of the bin. Why I stress the harness that people think, well, I'll grab onto a rope. Well, you can't hold on tight enough. Or you put a rope around somebody and think you're going to pull them. There's several hundred pounds of suction as that grain is packed around the person. And unfortunately, you would, I grossly say, pull the person apart. You may not actually pull them apart, but you damage them if you tried to yank them out somehow. So we need to, like I said earlier, stop, think before we do anything.
Or perhaps look into some of the new technologies that are on the market that prevent clumping or identify other issues.
Right. Yeah. And I am a strong supporter of all of the temperature cables and other ways that we monitor the grain, but we still need to be applying management. And I say management involves having degree of knowledge and skill that we're applying. And so some of the things that we covered today help then make sure that people understand why it's so important that we do something in order to maintain that quality of grain.
Dr. Hellevang, this has been a great interview. Is there anything else to mention that I didn't ask about or maybe you wanted to elaborate more on today?
No, I don't believe so. I think, like I said, that grain storage really is nothing new, but at the same time, the ability that we have today because of technology allows us to do a better job than maybe what we did previously. But it still comes down to understanding some things. And I start a lot of my presentations by saying that I spend time on the fundamentals because every year is different and every geographic region is different. And so just because they can do something in North Dakota or Iowa or Ohio doesn't mean that it works for us. And each year is different. So we need to understand those principles and apply that to our local situation.
Dr. Hellevang, thank you so much for joining me here on the show today. Once again, Dr. Kenneth Hellevang, Extension Engineer and Professor in the Department of Agricultural and Biosystems Engineering at North Dakota State University. Thank you for listening. For the Successful Farming Podcast, I'm Lori Boyer.